Blog Talk Radio.
I am a messenger of Christ, And as I far stated, Jesus is my commander-in-chief. He delivered me all of my orders every day, Monday through Sunday. God set out my itinerary for my daily appointments on what I am to do concerning his will. Now, we know we all have itineraries that we would like to accomplish each day. But it is, my friend, the divine act of God to either endorse his signature on our itinerary that we have planned out or to veto our itinerary because it does not go coincide with his plan for us. So the reason that I'm here on this digital radio dial is to bring God's word through a nation that is lost with no sense of direction. And I just thank you, my loyal listeners, you and my friends and kinship and those that are out there in the listening audience on today. I want you to know that I thank God for you. And I want you to continue to be a loyal listener because God is going to bless you if you do. And so I have two numbers that I have allocated for your pleasure. And that is 646-200-3074. I'm placing these numbers. They are on the monitor as we speak. The second number is 877-598-8654. We welcome your calls. We welcome your comments. And if this program has been a blessing to you, we look forward to hearing from you. And I just thank you once again for joining me today on your program, The Old Ship of Zion. And your host once again is Senior Pastor Janet Ward. And I would like for you, my loyal listening audience, to bow your head, if you will. We're going to reference God at this moment by going down in prayer. So, if you will, bow your heads with me. Father God, we come with grateful hearts of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us together in unity once again around this spectrum, coming together as pilgrims through this barren land. We're asking you to anoint these lips of clay, to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know you in the pardons of their sins. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep within their souls. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous, matchless name. And we shall all say, amen. And amen. And God gave me this theme on last evening. And the title is Finish Your Course Gracefully. Now, I will be before you exactly 1 hour on today because I have a lot to cover. And with God's help, I hope to present it in its entirety to you on today. And so we read in the law of 2 Timothy 4 and 7, reads like this. I have fought a good fight. Hallelujah. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And I want to encourage you, my listeners, my supporters, my followers, my believers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You that are believers of God's holy doctrine, I am talking to you today. I want to encourage you on today to keep the faith. Hallelujah. I read a thread on yesterday that really grieved my heart, and even though I really wanted to stretch forth my hand and type a few lines, God just had me to remain quiet. Sometimes we want to help out someone, but as God's word declares, it's a time and a place for everything under heaven. So even though my heart grieves for that young man of God, he felt like that, you know, God had just issued him just a load of trials, you know, one after another, one after another. And he felt like that he was just, you know, given too many trials at one time, and it was just overwhelming for him. But you know, saints and friends, and you that are out there in my digital listening audience, God's word says that God knows how much we can bear, saints of God. And friends, and you that are out there in the listening audience, God knows how much you and I can bear. And I am here as a living advocate, as a living witness, that God will not give you or I more than we can handle. God sits up in heaven on his heavenly throne. But God is just not sitting up in heaven, sitting idly. God is sitting up in heaven, but God is looking down on earth. Hallelujah. God is looking down on his creation. God is looking down on his disciples. God is looking down on his messengers. God is looking down on those that are called in the vineyard of service. God is looking down on our apostles. God is looking down on our bishops. God is looking down on the deacons. God is looking down on the elders. God is looking down on the missionaries. God is looking down on the evangelists. God is looking down on everything that he has authority and dominion and power over. And that is us. God loves us. Do you know that God loves you? I'm talking to you that are listening in our digital radio listening audience on this day, this hour. God see all, and God knows all. God has not turned a deaf ear to you, my friend. My brother, my sister, sons and daughters, uncles, aunts, grandmothers, grandfathers, uncles, extended family members, kinship. God has not turned a deaf ear and a closed eye unto you. God knows what he's doing. And I am reminded that behind every dark cloud is a silver lining. And God is not going to present us, God is not going to lay before us anything that he knows that we are incapable of bearing. I'm a witness to that. I won't go back into that because that was in another sermon. But everything that I bring to you, that God gives me, and that I present before you each time that we are in fellowship with one another, I'm not giving you something that I don't have knowledge of. But I've given you something that I've been through. And I think that's the most potent antidote to give a person that's seeking truth, that's seeking God, that's seeking and searching for true righteousness, is to hear it from someone that has hands-on experience. I don't ever want to come across with anything that I have no knowledge of or that I have been through in some sort of way. I want to always bring to you something that I myself have been through and that God has brought me out on the other side. But we know, saints of God and friends and kinship and you that are listening on this day, God is not going to give us more than we can bear. And when God sends trials, because we're going to have trials, we got to face this situation, saints of God and friends and listeners. We got to know this one thing, that trials is not something that we can sweep under the rug. Trials is not something that if we have a trial today, hey, this is going to be done with. This is going to be over. This is going to be completion. I won't have a trial again. No, no, no. I am here to tell you that is farther from the truth. We will have trials and tribulations as long as we are here on this soil, this place that we call planet Earth. We are going to have trials and tribulations. But God said in his word, may I repeat, God said I wouldn't deliver you from a little bit of them. God didn't say I would deliver you from a partial part of them. But God said in his word, and these are God's words from his lips, from not my lips, but I am mimicking what God said. Everything that I tell you is a mimic of God's word. God said, I will deliver you, my child, from them all. So don't be discouraged, but I want you to be encouraged to know that through every dark cloud is a silver lining, and God is going to bring you out. God is going to bring you through it. But after that completion of that trial, you will encounter another trial. But God is yet standing by your side. God is standing in front of you. God is standing in the rear of you. God is standing on each side of you. So you are not alone. But don't get discouraged when trials come your way and it seems like it's overbearing, because God knows what you're going through. And God feels what you're going through, because God too went through trials. God went through many tribulations. It's not a human being on this planet that has encountered, that has endured the hardship, the trials and tribulations that was placed upon Jesus Christ. There is not a human being on this planet that can testify or have a testimony that they have bore the most trials, because that's incorrect. God is the only one that has encountered And not that he encountered, but he subdued trials. Can you imagine being cursed in your side with a sword? Pierce now, stab, like someone would stab you with some sharp instrument. Stab, the Bible says, that he was pierced in his side, and water and blood come spearing out, gushing out. Then it went on a little further to say that God himself had nails in his feet. And as the artist would sketch, his feet was pinned one on top of the other one with nails from the top of the foreskin of Jesus' feet all the way through, hallelujah, his second foot. Can you imagine such a trial, such agony and pain that God suffered? Then they went on a little further. Then they nailed his hand, the right hand, to the cross. They nailed it. Nails in his hands. That's what kept Jesus pinned to the cross. Just like you would pin a curtain back, you would pin a diaper on a bag line. You put up clamps. They call them, they are pins, so to speak. And that you would apply that to keep up your clothing that you have out on your rear line, in the rear of your home. Well, that's what kept Jesus pinned to the cross, was the nails that was in his hands and the nails that was in his feet. So don't be alarmed when trials come your way. Just know that God is going to deliver you from them all. Not some of them, but all of them. So I'm going to move along because, like I said, time is of an essence. And so we know that the awesome and the majesty of God, hallelujah, that he shares with us his gift of filiation. We are children of the Father, and we are inspired by the Holy Ghost, and we are at home in the blessed Trinity. Much more than merely human beings, we are children of God. We are brothers of Christ. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. We are witnesses to his truth and to his love. And because of these gifts, we're in our turn can bring life and warmth to the people. In one sense, the incarceration took place at a given moment in time. But we can also say that the incarnation is an ongoing process. There's always more to be achieved at each moment of his incarnate existence. We find Christ completely himself, fully God and fully man. But always there was more of the majesty of his incarnation to be unfolded. We find that at Nazareth, he took flesh in Mary's womb. But there he was a human fetus, needing to develop before he would be a full-fledged man. At the moment of his birth in Bethlehem, he was visibly and existently present among us. But he was as yet only a baby, needing to grow to adulthood in order to take on the task of a man. It required a lifetime for us to obtain the full potential of our humanity. And this was true of Christ also. With each action, each experience, he became more completely the person he had willed to be. A man growing more rich and more fruitful in his humanity as he lived out the ordinary routine of his life. In one way, we may say that at Calvary, his life had come to fulfillment. Even Christ had said him, he had said this of himself. And the gospel often reflects the same truth, considering his consummation on Calvary. As the hour of his life, the hour in which he drew to himself all men and reached his peak, his death, which lead into his resurrection. But then even after his resurrection, there is still much to grow. The incarceration has not yet reached its fulfillment in the resurrection of Christ. He is the vine, and we are the branches. Without the branches, the vine is not complete. We find that Christ is the light within us, and he has to grow in each of us. Thus, this metaphysical body grows and expands. And we know that in the division, that the whole of mankind is on the way of an ever greater unity with Christ, in whom evolution reaches point of omega, and the incarceration achieves its pleroma. The human race will be accomplished in him, and he in the human race. The true meaning of man's life and the purpose of the world is that Christ may become more and more the all in all in each of us. It has to grow into a true image of Christ and to become a living, hallelujah, soul. So we know that the world at large may be filled with ever more with the presence of the risen Lord. This is the meaning of the purpose of both the individual and the collective existence of mankind. Even the whole of creation itself is directed toward this goal. From the beginning till now, the entire creation, as we know it, has been groaning in one great act of giving birth. And we know that in the law of Romans 8:22, Paul often developed thoughts along these lines. God has put all things under Christ's feet and made him as the ruler of everything, the head of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills the whole creation. In the law of Ephesians 1:22-23, we find that all baptized in Christ, you have all clothed yourself in Christ, and there are no more distinctions between Jews and Greeks, slave and free, male and female. But all of you are one in Christ Jesus. That's in the law of Galatians 3:26-28. Now the church is his body. He is its head. As he is the beginning, he was first to be born from the dead so that he should be first in every way. Because God wanted the pleroma to be found in him. This is in the law of Colossians 1:18-19. Hallelujah. And after that, we come to the end when Christ hand over the kingdom to God, the Father, having done away with every sovereignty, authority, and power. But we know, for he must be king until he has put all the enemies under his feet. And the last of the enemy to be destroyed is death. Everything is subject to him. Then the Son himself will be subject to his turn, to the one who subject all things to him, so that God may be all in all. That is in the law of 1 Corinthians 15:24-28. Hallelujah, Jesus. So we know that we must finish this course. saints and friends and you that are out there in digital radio, we are to finish our course. But in finishing our course, we want to finish our course gracefully. And we know that it's not difficult in such a world to get a person interested in the message of the gospel, but it is terrifically difficult to sustain the interest. Millions of people in our culture make decisions for Christ, but there is a dreadful attention rate. In our kind of culture, anything, even news about God, can be sold if it is packaged freshly. But when it loses its novelty, it goes on the garbage heap. There is a great market for religion experience in our world. There is little enthusiasm for the patient acquisition of virtue, little inclination to sign up for a long apprenticeship in what earlier generations of Christians called holiness. And I fear our generation has come dangerously near the "I am getting tired, so let's just quit" mentality. And not just in the spiritual realm, we find that in dieting is a discipline. So we stay fat. Finishing school is a hassle, so we bail out. Cultivating close relationships is painful, so we back off. Getting a book written is demanding, so we stop short. Working through conflict in a marriage is a tiring struggle, so we walk away. Sticking with an occupation is tough, so we start looking elsewhere. This reminds me of something my sister passed along to me. And we know that enthusiasm, disillusionment, panic, search for guilty, punishment of the innocent, praise and honor for the non-participant. By the time a project has run its crazy course, confusion has replaced accomplishment, participants have changed to spectators, the "let's just quit" mentality is upon us. Hallelujah. But we know, hallelujah, that if we just keep the mentality that I'm going to keep on keeping on, because you and I as soldiers of Christ, we must rid ourselves of anything that hinder us in the conflict with our spiritual enemy. And to fight this battle effectively, we must be clad only with the armor of God. We read in Ephesians 6 and 11 through 17. The Bible also like Christians to run. We got to run this race to win. We must lay aside every weight that would drag us down, hallelujah, and rob us of our strength and endurance. The law of Hebrews 12:1. This weight may be an excessive desire for possession, the captivating of love of money, an endless pursuit of pleasure, slavery, the sinful passion of a burdensome legalism. But if we are to fight the good fight of faith and run the spiritual race with endurance, we must watch and we must run with spiritual endurance and take off the weight. Hallelujah. We know, hallelujah, that I'm reminded a pastor placed his sign on his door, and the sign read that if you have a problem, come and tell me all about them. If you don't have any problem, come in and tell me how you avoided them. what do we do when problems come unannounced? Hallelujah. And with great intensity. James told us to count it all joy, because trials do not happen without a reason. He said that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete. In the law of James 1:3-4, armed with this understanding, in praying, ask God, not why, but to thank him for what he is doing. Having endured many trials and facing a new struggle, there may be some of you today that might be struggling with leukemia. There may be some that's struggling with cancer. There may be some that's struggling with tuberculosis. That some may be struggling with sexism, sex demons, lustful hearts. There may be some that's dealing with abuse, struggling with lying tongues. But whatever you are struggling with, I'm here to tell you, even you that have counsel, I know that you might have counsel, but the counsel don't have you. So God alone has you. God got you covered from head to toe. And I want you to value your prayers and cries, that Christ may be magnified in your body, whether by life or by death. Because we know that trials are unavoidable, unpredictable, and they come in an unimaginable variety, knowing that our sovereignty God will walk with us and use trials to deepen our maturity. We can count them all joy. Hallelujah. So we know that we can finish our course gracefully. We don't have to finish it alone, but we can finish it by the help of our Father, Jesus Christ. I am reminded that when the World Trade Center tower came crumbling down, and we know that in its defeating roaring of billowing debris, there was people and citizens of the New York town experienced what many people in other parts of the world had already known, the fear of terrorism. Subsequently, attacks in other countries have heightened the concern that mankind may be sprawling towards self-destruction. All the unrest in the world might make us think that our future is very bleak. We might even conclude that this is not the kind of world in which to have children. Yet, one shining hope remains that can brighten our view of the future. Hallelujah. That we know that back in 2,000 years, light years ago, that Jesus rose from the grave. And the grave, many infallible proof that he was alive. And I am reminded that he yet lives. And that you and I, we can keep going in the face of fear, because Jesus lives. We can face tomorrow. Hallelujah. So we know that we don't have to be afraid at whatever obstacle that we might be facing. I come to encourage you, my listener, friends, saints of God, and you that are out there in our digital listening audience on today, I am in here to encourage you that you are not alone. Every trial that you encounter, God is right there with you. Every step of your journey, God is walking side by side, neck to neck, hand to hand, heart to heart. God is walking right there by you. So you can take courage. Finish your course gracefully. Don't give up. Don't get tired. Don't throw in the towel. I want you to be in it to win it. The finish line. We're focusing on the finish line. And we are not going to stop till we make it to the face of Jesus. We are here for one purpose, and that is to serve God throughout our life. And when God raptures us out of here and we stand before that judgment seat of God, and God reads to us the book of life, and he reads us the deeds that have been done in this old mortal body, and when we know that we have done all we can do to stand, God said to keep on standing, my friend. Keep on standing, my sister. Keep on standing, my brother. Finish your race. Finish your course gracefully. Stand on the word and the principle of God's truth. You can make it, soldier. You can make it, disciple. You can make it, vineyard worker. You can work, make it, missionary. You can make it, children of God. I'm here to let you know you can make it in spite of whatever come your way. Jesus give you the power. You have the Holy Ghost power embedded deep within your heart and soul. That's the power to conquer and defeat anything, any principality that come upon us. You have the ability of the Holy Ghost that can take you safely through. So don't give up, my friend, and don't give in. But stand. Stand on righteousness. Stand for right. Stand for God. Even to the point of death. Don't deny God, and he will not deny you. And on that great day, hallelujah, when those 66 books are open, and then there was another book, the Bible says, that was open, and that was, my friend, the book of life. And when God said these words to you, welcome, hallelujah, my good and faithful servant. You know that you have finished your race. You have finished your course with endurance through trials and tribulations. God will bring you through each and every one of them. So I want you to be encouraged. Stay focused on where we're going. We are headed and we are destined to see Christ's face when Christ cracked that cloud. But we know, and in ending, I want to say this. I got just a little bit that I can throw in ending this on today. And we know that when we have finished our course gratefully, we know that we have the final victory. And that is, my brother, that we know that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruptible. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, and the dead will rise. Incorruptible shall be changed, but this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? Hades, where is your victory? We know that the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So I would say to you, finish your course gracefully. I hope and pray that I said something to inject your spirit and impact your mind. As I have brought unto you the divine word of truth, until we meet again, I want you to go in God as God go in you. Bye for now.
Through the rain, I made it. Let it overtake.
Oh.